Hello, this is Rabbi Mordechai Fleischer of the Denver Community Kollel, bringing you this week's thought on the parasha. This week's parasha, Parashas Truma, focuses on the construction or the instructions of the construction of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. The very first vessel discussed by the Torah in the creation and construction of the Mishkan is the Aron, the Ark. The Ark was placed in the Holy of Holies and contained within it housed the two tablets, the Luchos, that Moshe brought down from Sinai, both the first set that were broken as well as the second set that were brought down after Moshe's second trip, or should I say third trip, up Mount Sinai. And this ark remained in the Holy of Holies at all times. It was almost never taken out when the Mishkan was put up. When the Jewish people traveled, then it was taken out, it was covered, and the Jewish people traveled with it through the desert. And it continued that way in the temple, that it was housed in the Holy of Holies. And the only time that a person went into the Holy of Holies was the high priest on Yom Kippur. The Talmud tells us of a very fascinating miracle that occurred with the ark, or actually with the cherubs, with the kruvim that were on top of the ark. The two cherubs that were on top of the ark, the two kruvim, were facing each other. And the Talmud tells us that they only faced each other when God was happy with the Jewish people, when the Jewish people and God were at a point with a loving, close relationship, when the Jewish people were fulfilling God's commandments and relating to God as they should. However, when the Jewish people were not keeping the Torah, were not relating to God properly, then miraculously, the cherubs, the kruvim, turned away from each other. What's interesting is that the Talmud seems to say that at the time of the destruction of the temple, of the first temple, the kruvim, the cherubs, were in fact facing each other. This is a very, very strange thing, because at the time of the destruction of the temple, God was not at all happy with the Jewish people. The Jewish people had sinned, were deserving of having the temple destroyed, and of being exiled, and yet somehow these cherubs were facing each other. How are we to understand this? There are a number of answers given to this subject, but I'd like to focus on one that I think is important and can bring us an important message and lesson. When the kruvim were originally fashioned out of gold, they were facing each other. That was their natural state. The miracle was not that they were facing each other. The miracle was that they turned away from each other. Miraculously, they turned away from each other when the Jewish people were not relating to God as they should, were not obeying His commandments, were not observing the Torah properly. At the time of the destruction of the temple, the Jewish people had fallen to such a low spiritual level, again, a relatively low spiritual level, that even the miracle of the kruvim facing away from each other did not occur either. Rather, they reverted back to their natural state of facing each other. Throughout the era of the first temple, there was a miracle that they faced each other when the Jewish people were doing what they were supposed to be doing, and when they were not, then they miraculously turned away from each other. However, the divine presence had left the temple, and even the miracle of them turning away from each other ceased to exist. And their facing towards each other was not a sign that God was happy with them, but on the contrary, it was a sign that even God indicating that He was unhappy with them was no longer there either. Rather, they reverted to their natural, non-miraculous state of facing each other, and God would not even intervene to show His displeasure. There are a lot of lessons that can be pulled out of this idea, but one important lesson is an idea that the Talmud talks about regarding suffering in life. The Talmud says that certain types of sufferings, just as an example, the Talmud says that if a person has not suffered a bad dream in a very, very long time, that's a very bad sign. Why? Because the Talmud says a bad dream is a fairly easy way of suffering to atone for sins, because it's not real. It happens while a person is sleeping. It causes distress. But when the person wakes up, it's not real. Hopefully you're not too traumatized and you're able to move on with your life. It's suffering, but it's not too bad. And so a person will be visited by bad dreams from time to time as a means of atonement for one's misdeeds. A person who never has a bad dream means that essentially God has given up on that person. It's not even worthwhile trying to correct the person's errant ways. It's not even worthwhile visiting sufferings upon the person to let him know that he needs to improve upon himself. Suffering, thus, is a means of helping us improve, cleansing ourselves, providing atonement. And when we go through difficult situations in life, it's an opportunity for us to pause and to reflect upon where we're up to in our lives, to see how we can improve, and to recognize that God is the one visiting the trials and tribulations upon us as a means of atonement and a means of correcting our ways. When nothing at all happens, that means God has given up on us. It's not that He's necessarily so happy with our behavior that everything's going great, but it may be that a person is so far gone that God doesn't even bother giving the person a smack anymore to make him realize that he's going down the wrong path. It's just not worth it. Throughout life, we go through different trials and tribulations and challenges and so on, and nothing is ever perfect, and we need to recognize that life is not meant to be perfect. If life is perfect, that's not necessarily a good sign for us. It may well be a bad sign for us that God has given up. We need to appreciate our difficulties in life, and hopefully they're not too bad, and we should never know from severe difficulties. But when we come across difficulties, even minor difficulties, the Talmud says pulling the wrong coin out of your pocket is a form of suffering. And all these things that go wrong, all the small things, and even the big things that go wrong in our lives, we should recognize as God's message to us and God's involvement in our lives to let us know that perhaps we're not perfect. Perhaps we need to look at ourselves and to recognize that we need atonement and we need to correct ourselves. I hope you enjoyed this thought, and I wish you a wonderful Shabbos.